Going into 2017, the Office of Personnel Management wants to change the way agencies think about diversity. Zena Such is the new director of the Office of Diversity and Inclusion at OPM. Her office is getting out there more often to talk directly to agency chief human capital officers. She tells Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco how a recent diversity summit at the White House got career executives thinking about diversity in a different way.
Besides holding things like the Diversity Summit, which brings more awareness and information and concrete information, you know, real research that's being done out there, what we're trying to do is speak at different agencies, get out there and get the word out to the leaders that what is diversity and what is inclusion. There's been some, you know, like I said, there's been some barriers to breaking through with federal agencies to showing them why looking at their populations, looking at their hiring practices, looking at their training selection process, looking at their leadership development, acquisitions, looking at the way that they implement contracts, all of that really does impact diversity and inclusion. And even more so, it impacts the ability for agencies to meet their missions more effectively and efficiently. We know that government's getting smaller, and so that's the word that we're coming around, and we're speaking to the CHICOs directly. We're speaking to the chief learning officers. We're speaking at various organizational meetings where they'll have a diverse group of people, people that come from the CFO's office, people that come from CIO's office, all together, and we bring ourselves to the table at these different federal agencies to be able to share that message that diversity and inclusion is a more effective and efficient way to get issues resolved more quickly, to be able to leverage the different talents that you have across an agency, to be able to look at things a little bit differently as we move forward into the new fiscal year. The Hispanic Council, and that is a council that was created several years ago prior to me being here at OPM as the Director of Diversity and Inclusion, but that council is another venue where we bring federal agencies together with leaders in the community, in the Hispanic Latino community. And each time we meet, we have an agenda that's co-created by the co-chairs, one of which is the director of OPM, and the other is Hector Sanchez. But they come up with the agenda items to talk about and look at how is the government really addressing the shortfall in hiring Hispanic and Latino employees. And so some of the things that we do there is we brainstorm ideas on how we can look at data differently, how we can recruit differently, how do we connect with different affinity groups and associations so that we get the word out about positions that are available, maybe in their regions and maybe outside of their regions. We're also looking at how do we conduct barrier analyses in our federal agencies to identify where exactly do Hispanic and Latino applicants fall off of the hiring process. Is it that we're not recruiting? Are they not applying? Is it that they're dropping off because they don't qualify for the positions, and you know, kind of digging deeper into what exactly is the barrier for employment. And different agencies are going to find different barriers. And so then OPM's job is to help these agencies find ways to overcome these barriers. And so our connection with the affinity groups and communicating best practices is what we see as our goal with regard to diversity and inclusion with the Hispanic and Latino community.
Can you tell us a little bit about that barrier analysis that I think the Hispanic Council is working on? Can you tell us where that stands now and any details around that?
I can tell you that we're still, it's a work in progress, that we are getting it through our clearance process. But the intent, I can give you an overall intent of the memo, and that is to help guide agencies in how to best conduct a barrier analysis where we don't look at just simple data that we've been looking at. Basically asking agencies to, as I previously just said, to dig a little bit deeper. For example, one of the things that when people conduct barrier analyses, they look at data such as your race, national origin, gender. Some agencies do look at whether there's a disability status or not, and veteran status and not. However, when you think about really what is a barrier analysis, it's not just how many people are applying to a position. It's taking a look a little bit further and saying, okay, where are the jobs located in that region? What is the population of applicants that we can draw from? Then we say, okay, are those people applying? And if they're applying, great. Are they qualifying? If they're not applying, we have to ask ourselves, okay, why are they not applying? If they are applying and they qualify, then we have to say, okay, if they qualify, why are they not getting interviews? If that's where the drawback is, or if that's where they fall off the process. So it's coming back with the right questions based on the data as we dig a little bit deeper. So take a look at your data and say, okay, with the Hispanic and Latino communities, where are the highest populations of Hispanic and Latino applicants coming from? Where are those jobs? Maybe there's not a good matchup between jobs and that population. And then we have to ask ourselves, okay, if there isn't a good matchup, then is it that Hispanic and Latino people don't want to move to where the jobs are, which we're finding is not a real barrier. We're hearing from the community that is not a real barrier from their perspective, that Hispanic and Latino people are willing to move. So then what is the federal government doing to ensure that those folks that live in different areas are getting the word about these positions and their opportunities to be able to apply and hopefully qualify for those positions?
And 2015, I know there was, you know, another small bump in Hispanic employment in the federal workforce. And I think, you know, the sense from the council was that that was a good thing. However, a little bit of frustration that, you know, this can't move more quickly. How do you view the 2015 report?
I would agree with them. I mean, taking a look at the progress that we've made, it hasn't been substantial. You know, some of the things to keep in mind is that the federal government hasn't been hiring at the levels that it used to hire in the past. And I've heard statistics saying that, you know, we're about the size as we were, you know, 25 years ago as a federal government. And so the truth is that we have to take a look at more than just the hiring. And that's why the barrier analysis memorandum is being developed, because not only do we hire, but we also have to make sure that we retain our top talent. And so we can't just be looking at one aspect of hiring and saying, okay, well, we're not hiring enough Hispanic or Latinos. But again, the barrier analysis will help us understand, you know, where are we not doing our job, and where is it that maybe we're not approaching this the right way with regard to attracting the talent that we want and then maintaining that talent. So when we talk about inclusive behaviors and looking at inclusion across federal government, what we're really saying is, are we creating an environment where Hispanic and Latino employees want to stay? Because we can keep bringing people on board, but if they're leaving because they're not feeling included, or they don't feel like their opportunities are there, or they feel that they're not part of the team, or whatever the reasons may be, and hence that, you know, barrier analysis might be able to even show us a little bit about that, we can't do our job in making sure that the federal government is inclusive to the Hispanic and Latino employees that they bring on board.
Zena Such, Director of the Office of Diversity and Inclusion at the Office of Personnel Management, speaking with Federal News Radio's Nicole Grisco. There's more to this interview. Catch that and Nicole's story at federalnewsradio.com.